When this whole Epstein cover-up whitewash broke just a few days ago, seems like 100 years ago, I told everybody this is a big scandal, ladies and gentlemen. And I told you it came right from the top, from Trump, for whatever reason he wants to move on. Never seen any evidence he's connected to Epstein. But regardless, we were told all this stuff was coming out, now we're told it never existed. Well, we know a ton of stuff does exist. But I told you this wasn't just going to blow over. And the fact that they handled this way was going to create a giant Streisand effect. Well, now it has. And this morning I came out and said, looks like Bongino's going to resign. I believe he will. I think it's overall because he's got integrity. And it's not even about Trump. It's just about the way things have been handled and where this is going. Trump is doing so much good. His administration is doing so much good. Tom Homan, Robert Kennedy Jr., Maha, trying to stop the wars. It's so important. But this attempt to say, never talk about Epstein again, move along, these aren't the droids you're looking for, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, is backfiring. And now the Democrats want hearings, and it's just all going completely insane. The answer to all of this is to just put the information out. The answer is to tell the truth. Let the chips fall where they may. Yes, it can kill the stock market. Yes, it's going to bring down a lot of powerful people. But those are the powerful people that set this corrupt system. We didn't elect Trump to play half measures. We didn't elect Trump to sit there and take over the establishment. We elected him to demolish the establishment. Trump didn't save him in Butler and take him through all these crises to then just take over the establishment and dismantle it that way. No, we want the whole thing to come crashing down for the whole world to see as an example to future tyrants. If we don't do that, God's going to judge us, probably nuclear hellfire. That's my view on it. What do you think below? But I believe Bongino will be gone by Monday. What do you think?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have more from Alex Jones coming on the other side of this break as well. There is just so much to unpack here with rumors swirling of a massive ultimatum between Bongino and Bondi. Now, I understand that Dan Bongino is a very respectable gentleman. He's an American patriot. He loves his country. We've seen everything that he's had to say over the course of the last several years. And it just doesn't add up with what we've seen as far as the actions are concerned under this administration. We see that it looks like his soul has been leaving his body. He looks like a ghost every time he has to appear in public. Obviously, he's been very uncomfortable with the position that he's in. And this lines up with what we've heard from insiders, whistleblowers, things of that nature, who understand what the FBI does in terms of psychological operations on even its own people. And so rumors are swirling that there was a major conflict between Bongino and Bondi over the handling of the Epstein files, as I imagine there very much likely was, because I can't think of a single rational person throughout the entire world who would say that Bondi's been doing an outstanding job managing expectations and delivering for the American people, basically in any capacity whatsoever. And we've heard that he's taken the day off in response to this conflict and that there may be an ultimatum between Bongino and Bondi. If she stays, I go type situation. And ultimately, I think everybody and their mother would choose for Pam Bondi to go before they would choose for Dan Bongino to go. She was second string anyway. There's no reason whatsoever for us to want her to stick around. She's been red flag after red flag after red flag. And she was even non-committal before her official appointment as far as pardoning the Jan Sixers was concerned. She would say, oh, well, we're going to go look at every single case. She would refuse to acknowledge that there was going to be a blanket pardon, and there was going to be a blanket pardon, but she would refuse to acknowledge it as if she wasn't necessarily on board with a blanket pardon. And I reached out to her a bunch of times ahead of time trying to ensure that people like Nate Hughes from Big Lee would be pardoned, trying to bring awareness to the case, and never heard back whatsoever. So tonight I texted her and I said, please resign. We'll see if we hear back, but there's more news on the other side. More reports from Alex on the other side with specific remarks from Steve Bannon and others. And we've got some breaking remarks from Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly that we're going to be showing you on the other side of this turning point event that took place today. It's very clear that Ben Shapiro was wrong. And this is incredibly important to all of the American people that we see justice regarding the Epstein file. Stay with us for more on the other side.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at theolicshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com and at Funds or Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
If you want to shine like the sun, you've got to burn like it. You're listening to Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser. This is Tomorrow's News Tonight. Groundbreaking earthquake happening right now in the DOJ as rumors swirl of an ultimatum between Dan Bongino and Pam Bondi. Scam Blondie. Let's see what's going to happen. I want to show you first, before we air this report from Alex Jones, in response to everything that's taking place, I first want to show you clip number 9 here. This is Tucker Carlson going on a 10-minute rant saying everything that everybody wants to hear regarding the Epstein files. Let's watch.
I don't like to vote, but I did vote this time. And I don't like to vote because I don't believe in any of them. And this time I really felt like I know Trump well. I love Trump personally. And what we were looking at was just so awful and totalitarian and stupid. And it wasn't even the arguments that I disagreed with from the Kamala Harris. It's weird to even say her name now. Who was that exactly? It was like a bad dream. But it wasn't even so much the arguments I disagreed with, though I definitely disagreed with the arguments. It was the style of argument that drove me completely bonkers, summarized most crisply by shut up racist. Whatever you said, it was shut up racist. And it's like, but wait, you know, first of all, I'm not a racist, but that's not even the point. The point is, I just told you what I think. I just asked you an entirely legitimate question, mostly, what the hell are you doing? And rather than answer it, you didn't pay me the respect that you would a human being. You treated me like a slave or an animal by telling me to stop barking. Shut up, racist. And I won't put up with that because I'm not a slave or an animal. I'm an American citizen, an adult man who pays his taxes. So, you know, I ask people questions for a living, and very often I get answers that I don't care for, that I disagree with, that I think are stupid. But at least they're answers. At least the person responding is treating me like a human being with a soul created in the image of the Creator. He's paying me the respect that every human being is due. When you ask a direct question to someone in charge, you are due. That person is morally bound to give you an answer. He's not bound to agree with you, but he's bound to stop and answer your question. And the left never did that. They would dismiss you out of hand. You are not worth listening to. Be quiet. And that's, of course, where the impulse to censorship comes from. It comes from the belief that you don't deserve to speak because you're not fully human. They own you. And that's what I voted against above all. I mean, I voted against a million different things that I hated about the last administration. Their insane desire to start pointless wars around the world. Their total unwillingness to protect this country domestically, to protect the people who live here, to protect the territorial integrity of the country, bringing in tens of millions of people illegally, giving them free stuff the second they get here, making a mockery of citizenship. I hated all of that. I hated all of that. But the thing I hated most was their total unwillingness to answer any question about why they were doing what they were doing. Because it was just too insulting. And every single time I would just feel like raising the middle finger and screaming obscenities, which is not an adult response, I'll concede, but that's how I felt. And I think that's really at the heart of why the Epstein thing is so distressing. I mean, the guy was some weird sex freak who was abusing girls. We knew that. But the fact that the U.S. government, the one that I voted for, refused to take my question seriously and instead said, case closed, shut up, conspiracy theorist, was too much for me. And I don't think the rest of us should be satisfied with that. And by the way, let me just say really quickly, because I was so mad about it that I think I found out part of what's going on. I think we are going to find out more. And I think the truth, for whatever it's worth, in case you're interested, is that the DOJ didn't release lots of incriminating sex videos with Epstein and his billionaire pals because they don't have them. They don't have them because when the original search warrant was served, 2007, I think, possibly 2006, I think 7, it was basically designed to protect Epstein. The search warrant was written in such a way to make sure that the feds never got their hands on the actually incriminating evidence. It's another way of saying the cover-up has been going on since 2007, almost 20 years. And so the real question is not, was Jeffrey Epstein a weirdo who was abusing girls? Yes, we can answer that. The real question is, why was he doing this, on whose behalf, and where did the money come from? And those are the questions that need to be answered. And I think it's entirely fair to ask them. And it's not adequate to say anyone who asked them is somehow desecrating the memory of little girls who died in Texas. They're not going to put up with that answer. I don't care who gives that answer. That is not acceptable. And I think the real answer is Jeffrey Epstein was working on behalf of intel services, probably not American. And we have every right to ask, on whose behalf was he working? How does a guy go from being a math teacher at the Dalton School in the late 70s with no college degree to having multiple airplanes, a private island, and the largest residential house in Manhattan? Where did all the money come from? And no one has ever gotten to the bottom of that because no one has ever tried. And moreover, it's extremely obvious to anyone who watches that this guy had direct connections to a foreign government. Now, no one's allowed to say that that foreign government is Israel because we have been somehow cowed into...
When the TP action is cheering, naughty, audience is cheering for that, that's a big deal.
There is nothing hateful about saying that. There's nothing anti-Semitic about saying that. There's nothing even anti-Israel about saying that. I've spent my entire life pretty much in Washington, where I knew and loved a number of people, including one very close person, who worked at CIA. That has never prohibited me from saying, I think the CIA has done some horrible things. Murdered a bunch of people, participated in the murder of a sitting U.S. president. It's got a whole trail of crimes. That doesn't make me a disloyal American. It doesn't make me anti-American in any sense. I was born here. My family's been here for hundreds of years. I love this country. That's why I live here. So criticizing the behavior of a government agency does not make you a hater. It makes you a free person. It makes you a citizen. You're allowed to do that because you're not a slave. You're a citizen. And you have a right to expect that your government will not act against your interests, and you have a right to demand that foreign governments not be allowed to act against your interest. That's not creepy. It shouldn't be forbidden. And yet all of us have trained ourselves to believe that you can't say that somehow, that that's like too naughty and forbidden. And the effect of making that off limits has been to create a lot of resentment, and I'll say it, hate, online, where people feel like they can't just say, like, what the hell is this? You have the former Israeli prime minister living in your house. You have had all this contact with the foreign government. Were you working on behalf of Mossad? Were you running a blackmail operation on behalf of foreign government? By the way, every single person in Washington, D.C. thinks that. I've never met anyone who doesn't think that. I don't know any of them that hate Israel, but no one feels they can say that. Why? And I think the longer that we play along with it, the more subterranean and creepy and hateful the conversation actually becomes. So I think it's better just to say it right out loud. Did this happen? And of course, that question has been asked to the government of Israel, and their answer is, we're not going to tell you. And I think our answer should be, no. As long as we're sending you money, if you were committing crimes on our soil, we have an absolute right to know, did you do this or not? And yet everybody has been so brainwashed into thinking that's somehow an expression of hate or bigotry when it's not. It's a baseline question that every U.S. citizen has a right to an answer on. What the hell was this? And by the way, if it turns out that it was nothing at all, that somehow Jeffrey Epstein really did earn $165 million giving tax advice to somebody, which is, for the record, a lot more than most people pay their accountants, and that none of this was actually a foreign intel operation, and that there was no blackmail involved, that actually Bill Gates was just hanging on the island because the weather was especially good, no one was videotaped doing anything immoral or illegal, and then that was used against them to get them to obey. If all of that is false, then just tell me how it's false. But don't call me a lunatic. And when Fox News runs a piece, as they did yesterday, by Hugh Hewitt, saying that anybody who's got even more questions about Epstein is some kind of nutcase with an unhappy personal life, who's spending too much time on Twitter in the fervid fever swamps of conspiracies, you know, up yours, buddy. Then why don't you answer the question then? Don't let anybody insult you, anybody, and I mean anybody, ever get away with insulting you instead of answering a legitimate question. Okay? Ever. And by the way, you will hear certain people say, well, you know, that means you hate the per-. No, it doesn't. I've got a bunch of kids. I would never let them get away with that. If I caught one of my kids, you know, smoking weed in the bathroom at my house, and I was like, are you smoking weed in the bathroom? Shut up, racist! You hate me! No, you're my child. I don't hate you. Answer the freaking question. Were you smoking weed in the bathroom or not? I'm not the criminal here. You seem to be.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's just wild what's unfolding. We have reports coming up from Alex Jones with special clips that he specifically wants to talk about. We've got at least two of those coming up on the other side of the break at 12 minutes. But before we run those, I've got to show you some of the astounding comments that Megyn Kelly made today as well, lambasting Bondi here. This is clip 10. Holy crap, Megyn Kelly's on TV lambasting Pam Bondi and letting us know what the hell is going on to the extent that it's possible to even know. There's definitely an earthquake happening, and we're going to see the aftermath unfold. Hopefully I can get Kyle Serafin on tonight with us as well. Stay with us. Watch now.
Tuesday.
Nothing's going on. Has anyone been on X in the past hour?
They're happy. That's why you know they haven't been on social media.
We'll update you.
Why don't you update them, Megan?
Well, this is the first big scandal, I'd say, of the Trump administration that's on Team Rational. It's not a fake media scandal like the left tries to create for President Trump every other day. It's one of the right's own making, and it's not going well. And it has to do with Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah. Let me just ask you, make some noise if you care about the Jeffrey Epstein scandal.
Raise your hand if it matters a lot to you. Raise your hand. So every hand of 7,000 people.
Everybody cares.
A lot. I said a lot. Every hand.
Here's what I think is happening. I don't think President Trump is focused on this. He's focused on a lot of other things which are going great, and he needs to be focused on those other things. Jeffrey Epstein's not the most important thing on his agenda by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, he's crushing it on the tariffs, foreign policy, just got nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. If not Trump, then who? Honestly. Barack Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize after 9 months in office. He had done nothing, nothing. He gave a nice speech about Muslims, and they gave it to him. So President Trump should be getting the Nobel Peace Prize, and there's all sorts of things he's focused on. I just don't think this has captured his attention quite yet. But it needs to, because it's starting to create a real hornet's nest within the administration. And I've got to be honest, I blame Pam Bondi. I'll tell you why, okay? I have nothing, yes, incompetence, yes. I have nothing against Pam Bondi as a human being. I was fine with her nomination and her confirmation, and she's been loyal to the president, and I get that President Trump needs a loyal attorney general. Look what happened with Sessions the first time. He went away, and then the next thing you know, we had the Mueller investigation, and it was a nightmare. But there are a lot of other people who can be loyal and competent in that job. Here, she is the reason that things are unraveling around this story right now that virtually all of the Republican Party cares deeply about. It's also true that Dan Bongino and Kash Patel had questions about Epstein before they took office, okay, before they went into the FBI. But once they joined the FBI, they said nothing. They've kept their mouths shut. about Epstein. You have not seen them, except for one joint appearance with Dan and Cash on Fox, running all over the media looking for attention on this, yes, clickbaity story. Who have you seen? Pam Bondi. She has never missed an opportunity to go on television and dangle sweet nothings that might be coming your way. Try to lead you to believe that she's got it. It's on her desk. It's coming tomorrow. You're going to see something on Epstein. And it was a tease. So you either believe that Pam Bondi was telling the truth then or that she's telling the truth now. But both cannot be true. She was either lying when she went on Fox News all those times saying, I've got it, I've got it, we're looking at it, wait until you see it, it's horrible. Or she's lying in her two-page memo that they released on a Sunday night at the tail end of a holiday weekend to Axios, as if Axios is where we all go for our news. Hell no. She went to someone she knew would not kick the tires on the story, and without signing the memo, dropped it in the dead of night and said, that's it, take the crumbs and be happy. Refused to come out and give a presser. Come out to the and give a press conference. Stand there for 6 hours to the point where people are dying of boredom. They've asked all their questions. That's how you put a scandal to rest. But she wouldn't even sign her name to it. And I'm telling you, I have dollars to donuts. It's going to come out that there was internal consternation over that memo and whose name did and did not go on it and who it was and was not behind it. And so now you have a situation where her words on the record on Fox News are diametrically opposed to what she put in this memo. She's embarrassed the president. She's embarrassed herself. And Dan and Cash, to the extent they've had to sign off on that, let's understand the FBI is controlled by the DOJ. The FBI is subservient to DOJ. She's their boss. That they're in this position where the only comments they've made on the record as administration officials have been, we don't think he killed himself, and we don't think he got murdered. We think he did kill himself. We've looked at the tapes, and Cash to Joe Rogan saying, if I saw all these tapes of Jeffrey Epstein with little girls, trust me, I would show you. But I haven't seen it. Okay, so what they're saying now is consistent with what they've said since they joined the office, and that is one of the many reasons why this scandal is squarely on her, and I'm telling you, I'm of the cable news universe. I've seen it happen a million times. People get thirsty. They love to see themselves on television. They love to see their names in the league lights. They love the attention. They love the little emails and texts and tweets and thumbs up they get after their appearance, and they can feel their star rising. And listen, internally, I'm told there's a bit of like a power struggle between Pam Bondi and another female administration official on who's going to be the top dog. You know, we've got a great bench behind President Trump. We've got JD. We've got Marco. You know, we've got Hegseth. We've got a lot of people who could potentially be next up. But there are some women who've got their eye on that role too. And I've been.
There you have it. There you have it, folks. And we've got reports coming up with Alex Jones on the other side of this break in 5 minutes. It's just unbelievable what's unfolding right before us. But here's where I'm excited. I was so disheartened Sunday night to see in the dead of the night that the DOJ and the FBI had issued this joint statement with nobody's names associated with it. And we've seen conflicting reports as to the extent in which leadership within either the DOJ or the FBI was really in a state of consensus regarding this document. And it's very obvious to me that if there had been consensus, I think all of their names would have been on it. There was obviously strife, discord, disagreements as to whether or not this statement should be released. I mean, it's obvious why people might have some reservations about saying that this is a nothing burger and there's nothing to see here after years and years and years of all the individuals before and after they were in the office or the positions that they were in stating that there was tens of thousands of videos and all sorts of evidence and we just had to go through everything and don't worry, we're going to come out with it. It just takes time to go through all the documentation and we have to watch all these terrible videos and ensure that everything is documented and we know what's going on. I think Tucker Carlson's right. I think that this has been a cover-up since 2007, and they likely don't have the videos or the content. They were likely deleted. And one would think that we should ought to be able to reach out to, I don't know, maybe our biggest, most important, most bestest friend ever, strategic ally ever, Benjamin Netanyahu, and say, hey, BB, we know that he was giving you guys the blackmail information. Can't you reach out to leadership of Mossad and just give us the information that our own intelligence deleted? And BB, of course, won't do that because we deleted it on behalf of Mossad. And Mossad deletes information on behalf of CIA. They're the same exact organization. But now we've got Megyn Kelly, Tucker Carlson coming out. We've got Charlie Kirk asking for people in his audience to raise their hand or to cheer regarding whether or not the Epstein case is important to them, all after Ben Shapiro comes out this week and says, it's very obvious that the Epstein issue is just not a big issue to the American people. Oh, no, no. Everybody cares about a giant human trafficking child abuse scandal on behalf of a deep state and then the subsequent cover up by the same deep state of this blackmailing scandal on our political class so that our politicians, after we elect them, can be disproportionately leveraged away from representing the interests of the American people into representing the interests of the political class. I think everybody cares because it really gets to the heart of basically every mother loving problem that we have in the United States of America and frankly the world as a result of our just imperial imposition of our will off across the face of the planet, resulting in attacks like 9/11 and wars like Afghanistan and Iraq and conflict after conflict and constant concern over economic collapse and nuclear proliferation and destruction and annihilation of the people of the face of the earth. But I guess maybe it's not as much of an issue as to whether or not you can wear shoes when you go through the airport and have TSA grab your balls and grab your wife. So it's just unbelievable what's going on. And like I said, on the other side of this break, we're going to be showing breaking reports from Alex Jones in response to some comments from Steve Bannon and others. There's at least two reports. And then at the top of the hour, Kyle Serafin is going to be coming on. He's our FBI whistleblower. He's been an awesome friend of the network and frankly, just a friend of the truth. So I'm really looking forward to spending an hour with him from 10 p.m. Central tonight to 11 p.m. tonight, breaking down what the hell is going on, what he knows from the inside with his contacts. And let me tell you something. I know Kyle Serafin. He is not full of crap. He has the contacts. He knows what's going on. He's always got the scoop. He told us about the 14 terabytes before anybody knew about the 14 terabytes. And now the DOJ and the FBI have the audacity to say they went through like 300 gigabytes of information. Instead of the 14 terabytes, a fraction of the information that we know that they had. But before we go to break, I've got to tell you about something. We have these two new products, both formulated by Rex Jones. We've got Power Plant and we've got Methyl Drive. And I've got to tell you that the last couple of weeks, really the last month or two, I have been absolutely exhausted working just endless hours, compensating with things like our supplements, of course, but just energy drinks and it's getting coffees and sodas. I've just been so exhausted. I was driving home today to see my family before coming back into the office. And I was listening to this song. I can't remember what it was, but I was feeling so good. And I thought to myself, why do I feel good? I mean, this week I've been on air more hours than I've been asleep. And I realized that it was the first time that I'd taken both the Power Plant in conjunction with the Methyl Drive. And I've officially just started calling it the Power Drive. It's Power Plant plus Methyl Drive. Oh my God. I cannot wait during this break to go and get a cup of water. I've got them already pulled out here so that I can take these. This is seriously a power drive. You take this in conjunction with methylene blue, you're going to feel that. Here's the Power Stack Cellular Energy Bundle, the ultimate methylation power combo available now on the alexjonesstore.com. You take both of these along with the methylene blue, you're going to feel like you've been hooked up to a nuclear power plant. The atoms are just going to be bursting around with explosion after explosion in every single one of your neurons. Energy powers the world has never seen. I mean, we're talking solar system starter behavior, big bang, creation level power here in the Power Drive. So please get the ultimate power pack bundle right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Not only because it's going to light you up like the fire you deserve to be, the fire inside of your heart for this country and this network, but because it keeps us on the air in the face of the total assault from the globalist, satanic, evil, child molesting cabal. Stay with us.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain. Okay. So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. Look at the AlexJonesStore.com. Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live with tomorrow's news tonight, it's Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, and it is tomorrow's news tonight. Massive earthquake occurring right now within the Department of Justice. With reports of an ultimatum, it's either me or her from Bongino referring to Bondi. We'll see what happens. We've seen conflicting statements come out, but we'll see what happens. I've got this massive report from Alex Jones responding to some of this, and we're going to show you this first pair and then unpack it a little bit on the other side, and then I'll show you another report from Alex Jones right now. So here is a word from Alex.
All right, it's Friday night. This is all breaking right now. I'm about to show you a clip of Steve Bannon just about an hour ago addressing a large live crowd with his incredible connections that FBI Director Cash Patel is threatening to resign if AG Pam Bondi does not back him and the request he has made dealing with the Epstein file. And now it's coming out exactly what I said a week ago, that there has been calls to basically suppress the Epstein file, and they actually do not agree with that. So this is a major revolution. The people understand what's happening. And this is a fight with the very heart and soul of this country. So good job to Kash Patel. Good job to Dan Bongino for not going along with this. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So there's a lot of backstory going on here right now, but believe me, Cash would not be putting this pressure on AG Panbondi unless he had backing from the very top. So this would go against the idea that it's actually Trump that has been trying to block this. We're going to find out very, very soon. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. Who knows what Bondi's told Trump, but this is very, very fluid. This is a real revolution. And regardless, this is totally blown up and made the FC story 50 times bigger. Total Streisand effect. This is not going away. The deep state's scared. There's a lot of internal fight between Israeli intel, U.S. intel, over the heart and soul of MAGA going on right now. And that's why you see all the Israeli operatives out there attacking myself and others. But it's not going to work. And Steve Bannon is 100% on target. Here's what he just said. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, right here on Tomorrow's News Tonight with Chase Geyser.
Okay, so breaking news. Cash Patel is being reported that Cash Patel has notified that if Dan Bongino resigns because of Pam Bondi's mishandling, of which he's now publicly saying is Pam Bondi's mishandling of the Epstein files, that he, Cash Patel, will step down as director of the FBI to follow Dan. If I can just give you the way I think the system works, right? I assume that Dan and Cash got some sign off before they made those statements, right? I don't think those are random statements.
I'm going to cut things a little bit.
Here's why there's, why do you think there's movement right now? Is there movement from this afternoon, from yesterday? You agree that there's movement? You see movement? You know why there's movement? You. No. Special prosecutor. You've raised the stakes and said, we want a special prosecutor. We won't take anything else. We want to directly report to the United States. And now you're seeing the machinery starting to work. Well, upon further review, right? So do you guys still want a special prosecutor?
No.
Do you want Dan and, you don't want Dan and Cash to resign, right?
No.
Remember how hard it was to get Cash confirmed? Remember how many, first off, you guys did Bobby Kennedy, Pete Hegseth. Wow, Pete's going to be here this afternoon, I think. Bobby Kennedy, Pete Hegseth, Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard. We had no easy ones, right? There were no easy ones. Could we have gotten Matt Gaetz confirmed as Attorney General? You think so? Did Matt Gaetz get tossed to the wayside too early? You agree with that?
Well, there you have it, folks. Absolutely. And you know what? I'd like to see Matt Gaetz come in and replace Pam Bondi. I think it's a shame what happened to him. Had to give up his congressional seat because he was nominated to be the AG. Then he lost both, and now he's sitting pretty on OAN and Cameo. And it's not because of anything that he got wrong. He got dealt a bad hand, and maybe they're paying him well at OAN, but it's a loser network. And he's not a loser. He's a winner. And he's always fought for us, and he was right when he took out McCarthy. Even though Mike Johnson ended up being just as bad, we have to go through all of the bad ones and just eradicate. That's how we win. Here is another word from Alex Jones, followed by a clip from Stephen A. Smith. Let's watch.
Listen, I like Stephen A. Smith. I've liked him for a long time, and he sees the world's waking up, so he's kind of coming over to Trump world. He puts out this video, I'll post right next to this, saying we're treating Trump like the Antichrist because we're pissed off by the Epstein list. They promised to release it. We know it's there. We know there's all these terabytes of videos. It's come out in all these court investigations and indictments. Ghislaine Maxwell was convicted of human trafficking. Now they put out a Justice Department memo a week ago saying it doesn't exist and that he wasn't even a human trafficker. Ben Shapiro now says he didn't even jaywalk now, that Epstein's basically innocent. So it's this 180. It's this PR disaster. We then worry about what else is about to happen. No, all day long I talk about the positive stuff Trump does and how I want to support him and how I want to back him, want him to succeed. But I told people when this broke last Sunday or whatever, I said, this is a firestorm. Not with me, but with the public. You see the shakeup at the DOJ, the FBI, Bongino about to resign, Patel, all of it. This is a big deal, guys, because those files, those videos, that information is there. It's come out in court, a whole bunch of it. So Ben Shapiro can say it doesn't exist. It does, and that's the issue now. It's being told nothing ever happened. There's no list. There's no blackmail. Nobody ever human trafficked, even though his partner in crime, Ghislaine, went to prison for it, even though her dad was beside MI6 running it in mainstream news articles 15, 20 years ago. I mean, look, we're just informed, Smith. So I'm glad you're starting to get caught up and get woke up here, and I get it. I'm in horror over this. I want Trump to succeed. I need him to. The Democrats are going to put me in prison. But we're not like Democrats that are in a cult and just accept what the leadership says. We put Trump in power, and so people are pissed off. I'm going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The public is getting pissed, okay? This is a major miscalculation for whatever reason this happened. That's the facts, okay? That's what's going on. We're not in a cult. And so we demand more from our populist leaders than the Democrats do from their communist pedophile leaders. Got it? That's it. We don't want Trump or the DOJ by joining in on the Epstein cover-up. We know what went on. It's the key of the deep state. We're not going to stop. Streisand effect in effect. Comprende?
Trump, no matter what you may think about him, if you are on the right, you could not ask for better than what he has done, because what he has done is what they have said they wanted and have been trying to get done for years. And even they admit that he's doing their bidding, yet they're in an uproar because the Department of Justice said there's no client list and the Epstein file case is closed. Really? I mean, I'm wondering what, I mean, I got to talk to Steve Bannon. I got to talk to him. I got to talk to some of these people, you know, the Tucker Carlson's of the world and everybody going crazy over the Epstein client list? Mm-hmm. That's what you're concerned about? I mean, you've got such a hard-on for the president that you are losing your mind. With all the things, again, if you are a member of the right, you're a centrist, you're a leftist, you can't be too happy with what he's doing. But on the right, you have the audacity to look at this man like he's I don't want to be facetious, but you're treating him like he's the Antichrist right now because of the Epstein list? That's what you're mad about? I do find myself a bit shocked by that. I'm like, damn, I expected folks on the right to have a lot better things to complain about than that. But they really, I mean, this, I don't even want to bring up his name, but you know who it was that was crying on his podcast, you know, a few days ago because the Epstein list wasn't released. Really? Really? That's what Bongino, I respect the hell out of Bongino. I really, really do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with everything he said, but I have profound respect for him and his service to our country being, you know, doing the things that he has done. But that's what you're reportedly contemplating resigning. Yeah, you're the deputy director of the FBI.
Oh, it's not a big deal. It's not. Are you retarded? It's not about just capturing some one-off billionaire who is engaged in child sexual abuse. It's so much deeper than that. It is the metaphor for every problem in America. And if we can't solve the Epstein problem, then we can't solve any of our problems. You understand that's what's going on here. And even if it's not a big deal, it is to the American people, so therefore it must be to our political class, because after all, they're supposed to represent our interests and not the interests of some international cabal, right? It is worth resigning over. It's destroying the reputation of Trump, Bondi, Bongino, Patel, and the FBI and the CIA, whatever semblance of a reputation that the FBI and the CIA had left. It's absolutely a big deal. Oh, but it's just a man's name. Oh, but it's just, you know, all of our sacred institutions, which we're supposedly so proud of. Oh, but it's just the reputation of the greatest experiment ever to occur starting in 1776. Here's clip 7, Bannon, the only way this Epstein firestorm passes.
The only way this thing, the firestorm, passes is if the 5 to 10 to maybe 15% of the Trump movement, the Pepes and the hardcores, many of whom are in this audience, just say, I've had enough of it. The Epstein situation gets down to one basic question. One basic question. Who governs this country? Right? Who governs this country? Is it a shadowy network of intelligence, MI6, Saudi intelligence, the Mossad, CIA, elements of DNI, with other international financiers and corporations and governments? Or do the people of the United States govern? All that information has come out, and the people have to weigh and measure it itself. This is the most populist thing we can do right now.
The fact of the matter is, if we don't take the deep state down now, then no one will ever be able to take it down. So the Epstein issue, in my opinion, in my view, is actually existential. It is an existential issue. If we don't solve the Epstein thing, then America itself dies, then humanity itself dies, total destruction of the species off the face of the planet. Everything unravels if we can't solve the Epstein thing. But if we solve the Epstein thing, then there's a semblance of hope that we can save humanity from this international globalist, satanic, evil, human trafficking, child abusing, mother loving, cuck sucking cabal. Here's clip 11. Listen to the bass.
You're pretty fired up about this Epstein thing. I just got a call from someone in Washington. Let's not say his name, but he was like, wait.
A very dialed in guy. Super dialed in.
Really
super
dialed in guy. And he's like, wait, is this Epstein thing kind of big? I thought it's over. And so first of all,
they think it's over because the media had 8 minutes of President Trump asked 20 questions and didn't mention it once. So even President Trump thinks it's over.
And so, Steve, what is your recommendation, your suggestion on how to fix this?
There's only one way to fix this. We have to come out of Tampa, just like the Patriots did on doing like the Boston Resolves. We have to come out with the Tampa Resolves. Two or three action steps by Sunday afternoon, we're all committed to, all of us, to say this must happen. And I think it's special prosecutor ever. But we have to say no more, nothing. We have to go forward with this. And the reason we're going forward with this, we're there to assist and augment President Trump, to help save President Trump's presidency, because they are coming for another coup. You can see it happening. Just like the dark clouds were around Kennedy, right? They moved in and moved in and moved in. They assassinated Diem in Vietnam, and then they blew his head off in the middle of the day in Dallas, Texas, with a patsy named Lee Harvey Oswald that we find out 62 years later was on the payroll of the CIA. After they looked your parents in the eye and lied to them for 60 years, they're going to lie about everything today and hope that 70 years from now, nobody will care about it. Do you care about it?
Yeah!
If we don't come out of here united with Turning Point, as powerful as Turning Point is, if we don't come out of here and say, no more, nothing more, we must have this, because if we don't take down the deep state, we're going to lose the entire country. And they think they're winning. They're laughing at us right now. They're laughing at you. They're mocking you. This is the Epstein is some, the question's very simple. Who governs this country? The American people?
That's right.
Or the deep state?
And we had the Ben Shapiro's. We showed you the clip. I don't need to show you again. We had Ben Shapiro come out and say that this is not an important issue to the American people, that the American people largely don't care. I don't think that the American people largely care. That's how he talks. The fact of the matter is the American people don't care about the Epstein issue. They're worried about things like whether or not they can wear shoes when they're being groped by TSA. Here's clip 12. Listen to the bass. Listen to the bass. Listen to the bass.
Reporting is Bongino. It's Bongino or Bondi. He's not
Who
saying...
Who would you guys prefer, Bongino or Bonnie?
They
okay,
want
7,000 to zero.
They want Dan. Of course, Dan. You know why? Because Dan understands MAGA. Dan's part of the MAGA movement. Dan's been an important piece of it and a mouthpiece for, like, really important ideas and an advocate and a fierce warrior. He's been in the trenches. I mean, with all due respect to Pam Bondi, she's been in Florida. She represented the president. It's nice. But do you think she really gets
base.
MAGA? I don't think so. She wouldn't have behaved this way if she did. And now it's a time for choosing.
Yes.
It's a time for choosing.
Yes, and I choose the interest of the American people. And I choose the destruction of the deep state. The total overhaul of all of our institutions. We're not going to let them get away with this trash because Pam Bondi wants to be the valedictorian of America's Department of Justice. Where she gets the best grades in doing everything that whoever the puppet masters are ask her to do. Where she does everything perfectly with her perfect hair and her perfect makeup, and she just goes up and says all the perfect things and deceives and manipulates and coerces the entire Department of Justice into compliance. I mean, I've heard from insiders that the Department of Justice has basically been told to sit on its hands. Nobody's able to even do anything whatsoever. She's coming out and she's bragging over the fact that they've identified 204 child abusers within a 7-day period. You know, Trump came out today. He came out this morning and he said that we've found as of today 10,000 of the missing 320,000 children from human trafficking across the border. You know, they came out with the same exact number. Like, what was it? 3 months ago, Tom Homan has identified 10,000. which means they found zero children over the next 90 days. You know how many children they're going to find tomorrow of the 320,000? Zero. You know how many children they're going to find on Sunday of the 320,000 under Pam Bondi's leadership? Zero. How about next Monday or next Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or next month or this year? Zero. Unless we apply pressure and we get real people in office. Here's clip 13, Newsmax, what Bill O'Reilly thinks about whether Pam Bondi should resign. Let's watch.
Where are you on Pam Bondi resigning?
No, I'm not going to condemn Pam Bondi because she takes orders from the White House. She doesn't make unilateral
just
decisions.
Just following orders is not an excuse.
The way President Trump runs the administration. None of the cabinet heads make independent decisions. They all come out of the West Wing in the White House. All of them. So, you know, you could sacrifice her.
Right.
But it is a bad look for Donald Trump.
All right, folks.
You can't justify.
We've got Kyle Serafin coming on and joining us at the top of the hour. We're going to break in 7 minutes. Before we go to break, I want to show you this, a little bit of this clip 14 here. We're going to unpack some of the details of it, and then we'll get Kyle Serafin on. Let's watch.
And I think next week, over the next 10 days, okay, the base who's been wondering, where's all that accountability? They're going to get some big surprises over the next week concerning where the conspiracy began a few weeks before Crossfire Hurricane was opened and when it ended, all the way in 2024, when they were still trying to pursue Donald Trump to keep him from winning the presidency. There's a big case that's been built by the Justice Department and the FBI. It's been masked by a lot of this infighting and drama and soap opera stuff, but the truth of the matter is MAGA base Americans are going to be happy when they see where this is all heading in the next few weeks. Cash Patel's going nowhere. I hope Dan Bongino isn't going anywhere, but I do think he's going to take some time over the weekend to think that through.
So hold it. We got three huge leads there.
Yep.
Number one, I want to go back. You're saying the 10-year conspiracy against President Trump to try to thwart his first term, steal the second term,
right,
and basically surround him in his second term or third victory.
Yep.
That has been an ongoing investigation that the FBI has been already doing.
Yeah.
Does the Brennan
conspiracy case?
There
was hinted at. In fact, this was hinted at, Steve, in some of the media reporting, but I've got to confirm. There's a conspiracy case that was opened that looks at this window as a very large window. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a special prosecutor named by Pam Bondi in the next week or two. And why does this become significant? Because you don't have to necessarily then bring the grand jury or the indictment in Washington, D.C., where the 90% Democrat jury pool probably won't convict even if they had a murder. It allows them to go to someplace like Florida. One act of the overt conspiracy could very well be, Steve, that they raided President Trump's Mar-a-Lago house with false pretenses. And then you can bring the grand jury in Florida. You can bring the indictment in Florida because an overt act of the conspiracy occurred there. Maybe several overt acts of the conspiracy occurred there. You don't have to have a all-blue jury in Washington, D.C. that has Trump derangement syndrome. So this has been going on behind the scenes. I've been working on this. I decided tonight to get some of this out there. I've been talking about it in my show. This is a really big deal. Now, who becomes a special prosecutor? How far ranging is it? That's to be determined by the scope memo that a Pam Bondi would write. But there is some work on a scope memo that's been done already. And there is an enormous opportunity for those of us who've been calling for accountability to see a path to it for the first time. A legitimate path. Not smoke, not mirrors. A legitimate path to accountability.
Also, let me just ask you, on this conspiracy, does that mean, because people talk about the statute of limits, and you can only get Brennan for perjury, lying to Congress,
right,
that you can't get him for everything involved in Crossfire Hurricane, everything
yeah.
involved with the nullification project, the Russian hoax. Are you saying, by being a criminal conspiracy that's still ongoing, that we can go back in time 10 years and still get Brennan and still get all these guys for more serious charges of conspiracy of a coup d'etat, sir?
That's how conspiracy cases can work. You can charge a series of events into a larger conspiracy and go back beyond the window of time that the normal statute of limitations for any single crime occurred. And keep in mind, there's also prosecutors can make a very powerful argument that if you didn't know the crime had occurred because it had been hidden, the statute of limitations could actually reset for a period of time. But I think the most likely scenario is a large conspiracy case, and it starts in the middle of July 2016 when John Brennan walks into President Obama 2 weeks before or a few days before Crossfire Hurricane's launch and said, hey, we have this intercepted information that Hillary Clinton has authorized a program to make it look like Donald Trump's a Russian spy and Vladimir Putin is helping him. President Obama and Brennan knew before the FBI opened up on that information that this was a dirty trick by Hillary Clinton. That would be the first overt act, and then it would carry all the way through Ukraine impeachment. It could go into the FBI refusing to look at the Chinese interference in the 2020 election as one of the overt acts. They didn't want to help Donald Trump, so they ignored a potential counterintelligence threat. It allows for a very large series of events to be wrapped into a single conspiracy and all of them to be brought into the indictment.
Oh, there you have it, folks. All right, we're coming up on a short break here. It's just going to be about 3 minutes. We're going to get connected with Kyle Serafin. You know him. You love him. He's been around. He's got a great show as well. FBI whistleblower, gave us all sorts of insights into the espionage, the intelligence operation, at least it's been the human intelligence operation that's been conducted against InfoWars by the FBI since December 10th of 2013. He's blown the whistle on so many other issues, advocated for so many good men to be back instituted into the FBI who have been alienated just because of their integrity. And he's going to be breaking down all of the latest analysis on what's really going on within the Department of Justice right now as he understands it, as he perceives it. And I trust no one more than I trust Kyle Serafin to tell me what's really going on in intelligence. But before we go to break, I've got to tell you about these new products because we need to stay on the air and we need to fund this operation and ensure that the next operation is in place when they finally strike the death blow here. And we're putting them off, and we're not only putting them off and defending against them, but we are ramping up all of our plans and strategies to attack all of those who have tried to silence the American people through InfoWars as a symbol, just as Epstein is a symbol of all of the corruption in the United States and the world, all of the problems that we have with our deep state. So is InfoWars a symbol for all that can be done or used or accomplished in order to have total victory in the information war and save this species from the evil cabal. So look. I've been on air a lot this week. I covered for Harrison Smith every morning for 3 hours, and then we launched this new show. It was 5 hours a day on air this week, 25 hours. I think I was on air more this week than I actually slept. And I could not believe on my drive home today to see my family for a little bit before coming back in how good I felt. And I was like, why do I feel so good today? Did I eat really well? No. Did I get good sleep? No, not really. It's because I took Rexus Design Formula Power Plant from the alexjonesstore.com, which we launched this week, and we also launched this week this Methyl Drive, which is another Rex Jones formulation developed by Bigley, sold exclusively to the InfoWars audience on the alexjonesstore.com. It's so good that I'm now just referring to this combination as the Power Drive, because you'll feel like you're hooked up to a nuclear reactor, and if you throw in a little bit of methylene blue on top of that, my God, it should be illegal what you're able to accomplish. The deep state doesn't want you on this stuff because you will become a powerhouse in and of yourself. Please, for the love of God, go to the AlexJonesStore.com and get the Power Stack Cellular Energy Bundle right now and stay with us for more from Kyle Serafin on the other side.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on paratrooper, and he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done. I'm on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting. So you ever get him to take it on air? All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great, to fog lifting, to just over the top crying and feel so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now, but guys, don't forget when he's on Owen. So maybe he forgets before he's going to go off to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. That means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike.
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to go.
I think it's the Methylene Blue.
Macron, the creature seen slapping Macron around all the time and screaming like a man and stomping around and in bathing suits appearing to have a penis. Well, she sued, or it sued, two women / journalists that had been reporting on this for years, and they had been found guilty of defamation. But a higher court just came out and said, nope, they are allowed to have free speech. Regardless of whether it's a man or not, and it sure as hell looks like one to me, it dated Macron when he was 13, 14, and was its school teacher. And then you have the White House with Trump involved and later getting on the phone, calling up different journalists around the country, some off record, some on record, like recently, the case with Candace Owens, and saying, listen, we're trying to get a peace deal over here, and Macron's really pissed. He wants you to stop talking about his wife being a man. So they're literally trying to leverage Trump to put pressure on Candace Owens to stop talking about it, which is just crazy. As if even if she shut up, which she's not going to, as if that's the only place this is coming from. So I personally think it's a man, and I'm allowed to have that opinion. Michelle Obama, I mean, coming out of Harvard with her kids years ago, there's a huge rubber thing bouncing in the pants, or they put a rubber snake in there to, like, you know, create this controversy. It's like Obama famously over and over again said, Michael, Michael, I'm married to Michael.
Being a black woman in America is hard.
I don't think he was born in Kenya. He was born in Hawaii. His dad's a famous communist pornographer. Joel Gilbert's documented all that. So they just created another fake conspiracy. But so I'm not 100% sure Michelle's a man.
That warms my heart, particularly as a black man.
But this Macron person, I mean, acts like a man, looks like a man, and is a pedophile. I mean, that's not debatable. It's a pedophilic relationship with Macron. Well, actually, it was 13 or 14. They admitted it at 14, but they went back earlier. So this is just wild. So I want to ask the viewers and listeners, everybody, what do you think of this event? Brigitte or Parakeet or whatever its name is says that it's devastated by this. So score for the free speech. Europe's under serious EU tyranny, but I'm glad there's some free speech in France. And, you know, I just say, if people say I'm a clone online, people say I'm all these other crazy things that I'm not, and let them say it. I mean, you can say that I'm really not a man. Maybe I'm a woman. But see, people aren't going to think I'm a woman. It's ridiculous. Somebody acts and looks like a man in a dress with a wig on and has all this weird history and is in, you know, undoctored, you know, Reuters AP photos out swimming with Macron, and there's a penis there. It's a pee-pee. You're just like, what the hell is this? And then the culture's obsessed, the elite culture, with all this trans stuff. I mean, this, where there's smoke, there's fire, folks. And it's serious. So House of Cards is collapsing. Just another emblematic example of, oh, but a doctor that came out that's done these surgeries, an expert on it, saying that Brigitte is a man. He got thrown out a window a few days ago. I forgot about that. Of course, Joan Rivers said that Michelle Obama was a man.
No, Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
A transgender. We all know.
Oh, my gosh.
And then was dead a month later. So, yeah, it's... I'm just glad Trump didn't call me up saying stop talking about it. Because that would mean that, you know, Macron's after me. I mean, I'll risk my life to fight the globalist overall, but I might, you know, it's not my main beat getting into this. But it just shows how scared they are that they're putting pressure on Hannah so much. It's crazy.
What I was told from somebody that's pretty high up at the White House is that Emmanuel Macron is holding up negotiations to end the Russian and Ukrainian war unless you stop speaking about his wife. And I'm just going, what?
Stay with us for more on the other side. Kyle Serafin joins.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution, you are the solution, you're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification, that is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Darkness into light. It's tomorrow's news tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is tomorrow's news tonight. I am Chase Geyser, and we are joined by the one, the only, the great, the credible and incredible, the famous and infamous Kyle Serafin. Kyle Serafin, what the hell is going on? Everything is exploding today. I'm getting conflicting reports and statements. What are your thoughts as to what's going on? Do you have any insight as to what's happening with Bondi Patel and Bongino?
Well, yeah, I think the first insight I have is that we must be friends because I was in bed. I was ready to go to bed on this night and shut it all down. I was hanging out with my wife and here I am sitting here talking to you.
Special thanks to your wife, by the way, for lending you to us.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a credit to her. So it's been kind of a wild day. I guess we could say that gently, but people who watch InfoWars are not surprised that there was some chaos and turmoil brewing. This administration really stepped in it. And they stepped in on Sunday when this memo was released. And I came on to talk to Alex about it. I'm talking to you about it now. But the fact of the matter is I think that they massively underestimated people's interest in seeing elite pedophiles pay for their crimes.
Yeah.
And that people who do bad things to kids in this country aren't supposed to get away with it. They're not supposed to be able to walk off into the sunset or leave Great Britain without a fear in the world, without a care in the world. And it sounds like that's actually created some concerns for a former kind of media empire, once and future media guy. Our current FBI director seems like he is now perturbed as well. And so we've got this feud between Pam Bondi, who signed off on the memo, apparently, per the DAG. The DAG is the deputy attorney general. Deputy attorney general is the number two in the DOJ, but really the person who runs the nuts and bolts of the DOJ. In the same way, the number two at the FBI is the one who actually is supposed to run the FBI. We're in kind of a weird scenario, though, and I want you to consider this, too, because what I saw right away happen was an info op, and it was pretty blatant and obvious. All of the right-wing influencer crowd, the social media crowd, and the media itself, like the traditional media, the comeback types and so on, right, they all jumped out, and they immediately said, Dan Bongino is a really great guy. He's really good, and we need him, and if we lose him, you know, I stand with Dan. And so they've lent their credibility that Dan did the right thing, even though they don't know what that thing might have been yet, or maybe they've had some, you know, behind the scenes. We actually saw Julie Kelly, I've been referring to as the unofficial press secretary of the FBI, because she told us that the FBI wasn't interested in Epstein, that the Epstein files were irrelevant and nobody was going to go to jail and everybody got away with it. And she did that about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember.
So for me, that was kind of a bellwether. I was like, oh, okay, got it. Okay. And then when it happened, it was like, yeah, of course. We heard it already from the one person that would be able to tell us that. So that happens. The second thing is I started seeing government types and people that are going to be around government talking about Kash Patel and backing him up. And what I saw was nobody covering for Pam Bondi except the one person that might need to cover for Pam Bondi, which is the president of the United States.
Right.
And he said, you know, I've got Pam back. So she's not going anywhere from what I can tell. It doesn't look like Kash Patel would go anywhere. And I mentioned that to Alex a couple days ago. But I do think that Dan, I said the earliest he'd be out was this summer, and it's summer. I think he's out by the end of the year, but Glenn Beck just put out a post a few minutes ago and he deleted it, and it said Dan is leaving the FBI, and it's really sad, and here's the reasons why.
Wow. Did you get a screenshot?
And now it's deleted. Oh yeah, it's in my timeline if you guys want to take a look at it.
I'll pull that up, please, guys. Man. You're the best.
My quote was only one thing. It was like, oh. And then one of my buddies came back to me and he goes, hey dude, I had to video it because it's gone. And of course it was obviously still sitting in my mentions.
Right.
So I went through and I grabbed it off my profile and I just reposted it for folks. So what that means, but look, we know that Glenn Beck is at least friendly with and is on a first name basis with Dan Bongino. That could be one of those things. You know how it goes. Sometimes somebody tells you something, you go out there and you decide to share it, and then they hit you up and they're like, hey man, too soon. delete, abort. So when that happens, you know, the internet's forever if people are paying attention, and some of us are. So anyhow.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild. Well, and one of the, I really appreciated your insight. There's a few things that you've done that have been remarkable that are just going to stick with me. And one of the things that you did that you mentioned that you explained just to me as a layman listener when you were on the Alex Jones show was you talked about the psychological operation being conducted against Bongino. And seeing Bongino sitting next to Cash those weeks ago talking about how he killed himself, there was definitely a difference in disposition, not just from Cash and Bongino compared to Cash and Bongino before, but between Cash and Bongino within that interview, where you've got a Cash kind of just like doing the Fetty thing, and then you've got a Bongino obviously very uncomfortable, but like struggling with what's the right thing here situation. And I've often described, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful about Bongino, but I've often described him as like a boxer dog. You know, where he's loyal and he wants to do the right thing, but he's naive, right? And so you mentioned though that as soon as he got in, they're just inundating him with stressful thing after stressful thing. And he's got to come in at nights and he's got to come in at weekends. Can you just talk a little bit and expand a little bit on that?
Yeah. So broadly speaking, there's this tactic and we describe it as ninjas out of the ceiling. It's a training scar that people get by going to Quantico. Quantico doesn't have the most realistic training. They have an opportunity to do it, but they do this really weird thing where they basically create scenarios that are totally unrealistic. A great one that I remember is one of my buddies knocked on a door and he's supposed to be interviewing like a neighbor of a bad guy. They have a whole neighborhood. So, it's called Hogan's Alley. It's a real place. It's got, you know, like a dozen houses and you can go knock on real doors. They fill it full of role players. They don't really spare expense on that. You can shoot in the houses with airsoft type guns or with these, simunition guns. And so they do these full scenarios where you might get into a shooting, you get into a handcuffing, you might have a use of force of some kind. So my buddy goes and knocks on the door and it's supposed to be like the landlord of a guy that you're looking for and maybe they know his next address. And then you open the door and it's like the guy and like there's no reason for him to be there.
Right.
But then you're in a fight with the guy at the door. So they do that. Another one that's really crazy is you go into a room and you clear the room and you leave and there's a trap door that's hidden behind like a bookshelf and they push it out and the bad guy comes out and shoots you in the back. So it makes you think all these illogical things that won't happen. So it makes people afraid to turn their back on an empty room. And so the joke is that the instructors use is that, you know, ninjas are not going to fall out of the ceiling in the real world wherever you go. And yet they create these scenarios that basically are ninjas falling out of the ceiling. The psychological version of that is I'm going to come and brief you that if you're not sitting at your desk at all times, if your phone is not available at all times because you're the deputy director and you don't know how the FBI runs, then New York is going to explode. There's going to be a cyber attack that hits Kansas City. There's going to be some sort of biological weapon released in Los Angeles, and you're the only guy that's going to protect
it. It's Atlas. They put the weight of the world on your shoulder.
That's right. It's total cortisol shock. It is, you know, stress turned up to an 11, and so they're keeping him in a state of constant frenzy. If you're not feeling like you ever have a grasp on things, and by the way, Dan Bongino didn't work at the FBI, and so this is not like a knock on him. In fact, I think I would not want to be in that position. I can't imagine like if somebody was like, hey, Serafin, will you go run the commerce department? It's like, no, I don't want to do that. Like that sounds like a lose mission for me. So stepping into a law enforcement organization you've never worked in before, you've got to learn the structure. You've got to learn the org chart. You got to learn what people's jobs are, what they do, what it means to be a section chief or a unit chief or an assistant section chief. You got to figure out, you know, what are these different sort of divisions that they work out of? They call both field offices divisions and then also specific types of threats handled at headquarters divisions. It's completely illogical. It took me years to grasp this, and I'm a pretty quick guy. I just, you know, it's just not the most obvious way of organizing. So to walk in there off the street, be the number two, have all these expectations on you. By the way, you've been kind of like talking smack about them for years, saying it should be disbanded and there's all these problems. You're going to walk into that, and then all those people are going to go, well, we're going to teach this guy a lesson, and we're just going to run him ragged. And these are people that are intelligence professionals. This is what they do for a living. They keep people in compliant states. So they may not do it on the street the way a street agent does, going out and running sources. But the people that are in the senior management of the FBI, they've been like basically conning people for their next job for a long time.
Sociopathic
convincing
tendencies.
Them that they're necessary.
Sociopathic tendencies being an ideal characteristic of the perfect FBI agent, for lack of a better term, or CIA agent.
My buddy was 15 years in the Bureau, and he said that an FBI agent at the GS-15 level or higher will kick his own grandmother into the wood chipper if it means keeping his pension.
Yeah.
So that's not a good person to work for.
So
you're surrounded by those people.
I've been hearing conflicting reports today, as everybody has, about what's really going on. For a while, it was being said that Bongino put into this ultimatum after a major conflict with Bondi that it's either, you know, her or me that has to go. And then it was said that if Bongino leaves, Cash is going to leave too. And then that was kind of walked back, and then there are conflicting statements.
Yeah, there's no way.
Do you know can you just explain what the real dynamic is as far as you can tell?
Well, here's what we do know. A memo that said the Epstein files were closed was released through a leak to Axios on Sunday. Now, this is my belief. This is speculation based with some degree of information that was on purpose.
Yes.
One of the things that Cash Patel learned from a buddy of mine that I actually recommended to be the deputy director is that even though Patel was really concerned about the idea of leaks, he was informed that leaks to the media are a tool of the FBI director and always have been.
Sure.
And so you get to choose the leak. Now, why Axios? And my instinct is you give it to a left-leaning source that the MAGA people are immediately going to go like, well, that's nonsense. Like, that's Axios. We don't trust them. If you gave it to MSNBC, it'd be the same thing, right? Uh-huh. So you immediately create a softening of the blow. And we all kind of speculated whether it was fake or not. It had the seal of DOJ and FBI. That's going to be relevant in just a second. And then the next day, the White House went out and confirmed it. So by Monday morning or Monday afternoon, we knew that this was a legit thing, that they were shutting down the Epstein files and that there was going to be no additional prosecutions. There are no co-conspirators who are going to be indicted. They said that there's no evidence of blackmail. And by the way, he killed himself. So basically the quadrifecta, if you will, of all the things that people are going to lose their minds about. And I mean, what else do you call it? It's like, that's exactly right.
It's just funny.
Yeah, that's a clean sweep of triggering all of the
people.
What's
the worst thing we could possibly say?
That's right. And so listen, so this is also relevant because when you look at that, if you look at the way it looks, there's no signature on that memo. It's a 2-page memo. It's pretty short and to the point. One of the things that my friend Mike Howell mentioned is that it looks like there's exculpatory information or a paragraph in there that could have been written by, I don't know, an elite pedophile's lawyer who had a lot of money. His example was Bill Gates, but I don't know that Bill Gates is in there or anything else. I just know that if you wanted something to point to when someone came after you and tried to reopen that case, it would be really great if you had a document from the federal government saying one thing.
Yeah.
There's no evidence after an exhaustive search of the records that anybody did anything wrong and there's no reason to go after anybody else. Like, that'd be great to point to in courts. Like, when were you lying? When you released this memo to the American people or when you indicted my client? Like, you know.
Right.
So. No one signed it. It's got the dual seal. It's DOJ and FBI. Now, people who've been around government, and my buddy Mike Howell pointed this out as well, and the fact of the matter is that when you have two seals, two departments that are claiming credit for something, there's only two reasons you do it. It's so good that I also want credit for it. So, Chase, I don't want to be left out of the party when people start handing out congressional funding. The other reason is that it's a turd burger, and we're both going to eat it together. And so you and I are both going to have to put on our nose pins and just start eating this thing together. And so our names are both on it, and no one's going to sign it. Now, if no one signs it, it goes all the way up to the top. That should have been signed. If somebody had any courage, you would have had a Pam Bondi. You would have had a Cash Patel. You might have had the director of the criminal division for the FBI or whatever it was. You know, maybe it was a counterintelligence division. I don't know. And somebody over at DOJ from the prosecution unit. But they didn't do that. So it's unsigned. So it falls on the top people there. And those top people are as follows. It's Pam Bondi and her deputy, the DAG, D-A-G. And his name is Todd Blanche. He actually went out and said something about it today that's really relevant.
Yes.
And then you've got Cash Patel and you've got Bongino underneath there. So the four of them get to take credit for this turd burger. And it looks like they thought they could. Alex actually told me, I think on Monday morning, they tried to let it go like a fart in church, but it was a squeaker. It wasn't what you hoped it was. So it made a lot more noise than they expected. And everyone's looking at
it. It was a squeaker.
And so that's how we ended up with this sort of this scenario all week, building up a lot of tension where now there's fingers pointed. Well, whose fault was it? Apparently this started a real conflict on Wednesday. If you ask me, the conflict and the time to resign in protest and indignation would have been before the letter was released, before the memo went out, because that shows you that you have the courage and principles you're standing on and you're not going to be a signatory to it. But as it stands, Bongino apparently got into this fight on Wednesday and it hasn't been into the office since. Couple of like unconfirmed reports, but it seems like it's widely enough reported that that's probable. And now you've got it, Glenn Beck sort of like deleting the tweet saying that he's already going to be gone and that he won't be coming back into the office in the future, which remains to be seen. I guess we'll find that out.
So what do you think is going to happen next?
Well, the one thing that's really clear is that, Todd Blanche went out and if you guys actually pull it, it's in my timeline as well. I can send it to you off if we go to a break.
No, it's fine. They'll find it.
End of the day, it's in the DAG's official Twitter feed, and what he said was, there's no uncertainty here. There was no daylight between the FBI position, so that's Cash and Dan, and the DOJ position, so that's he and Pam Bondi. They were 100% in lockstep on what was released, and that there was no confusion about what they were putting out there. So that makes it look more like they were upset about the way it was received, and that it was going to hurt future media versus, you know, they were upset about the idea of actually shutting down the case. And so there you go. I work closely with, I'll just let you read it.
Yeah.
If you do.
It says, I work closely with FBI Director Cash and FBI Deputy Director Bongino on the joint FBI and DOJ memo regarding the Epstein files. All of us signed off on the contents of the memo and the conclusions stated in the memo. Suggestion by anyone that there was any daylight between the FBI and DOJ leadership on this memo's composition and release is patently false.
So case closed. That's what that means.
Yeah.
And so for all the people that are like, well, they're just, first of all, I had a couple of friends tell me this was the, this is a secret plan. This Donald Trump's plan to outrage everybody. And then they're going to demand the files and there's going to be lawsuits. And it's like, please don't. You look ridiculous. That's crazy talk. They shut this thing down. And the evidence of it is a member of the British royal family who was basically on kind of a, maybe not house arrest, but island arrest. Don't leave the country lest you get snapped up in some other place.
Prince Andrew.
Was able to start walking around and now feels confident, which is not just saying that there's,
and this is despite the fact that it came out that his handler, his bag man, admitted on Undercover O'Keefe video that he knew that Prince Andrew was engaged in sexual relations with underage girls. Admitted it. He walked it back later, but no one believes that. So it's just like everybody knows.
That's unfortunately for a lot of people who want to go and hang something on it, that's hearsay. So it's not admissible in court.
Yeah, but
it
we
certainly
know.
Is like a it's a circumstantial thing to look at and go, and then obviously his behavior of hiding in Great Britain. Yes, we have an extradition ability with Great Britain. Yes, they are probably in reality our actual closest allies. It's Britain and the other Five Eyes countries. So you've got the Kiwis and the Aussies and the Canadians and so on and the French. So you've got real allies, and we would get somebody if they were really bad. And of course, he was already defrocked and stuff like that of his titles, and he's kind of living in disgrace, but now he's able to move around, which is a kind of a message to everybody because he's a very visible figure. And when he moves, people know, and news coverage goes, and paparazzi follows.
Mm-hmm.
So this is over for all intents and purposes, hence the screaming and the outrage. And my sense of it is that Bongino kind of got wind of that and went, this is devastating to my future income. It's devastating to anything that I wanted to do. I don't know if Dan was hoping that he was going to get out of it and go back to a podcast, if he was going to go back into media, or whether he was hoping to run for office in the future.
I think it's his conscience. Maybe I'm being naive, but I think this is messing with his conscience.
I'll tell you this, as a guy who's left a job for his conscience and lost a lot for it, you know, like I didn't have $150 million net worth. I lost my house and my kids became homeless. And my pregnant wife and I didn't have insurance to have a baby. So like as somebody who's done a stand on conscience, you do it before the thing comes down on you.
Yeah.
You do it knowing there's going to be some backlash and then you don't know what it is. In my opinion, and this is obviously I'm a little bit biased to it, but I've seen my friends do it too. Courage is when you don't know what the outcome is or you already know it's going to be bad, but it hasn't happened yet.
You do it anyway.
And then you do it anyway and then it happens and you go, I knew it was coming, but it was really bad as I thought. I had a friend who actually, okay, so great example. An FBI agent who had 27 years on the job was the one who gave me the story about the FBI looking into Catholics in Richmond, Virginia, mm-hmm. and saying that they were akin to white supremacists. Now, he's not a Catholic, but he was an attorney, and he was very, very competent, and he had no disciplinary action, and he was considered a senior, you know, practitioner and expert in his field. And he was walked out the same day that they figured out that it was him. And he'd seen what happened to me. Hence, he brought it to me because, like, what are they going to do to me? I'm already kicked out. I was on suspension for a year and change. So he brings it to me and he's like, this has got to go to Congress. This has to be done. And probably in the back of his mind knew that there was a possibility of it coming back on him, but didn't really know it until they took all the things from his office and threw it in his front yard and told him to get the hell out of the office and disgraced him in front of everybody. And they let him retire that day retroactively. And they did it a couple days later where they finally let him actually, he'd already put in his papers to retire. Mm-hmm. So he thought he was safe. They still made a spectacle of him. That's what courage looks like, is you know what the right thing is, you do it, and then you realize it's coming down on you. When it's already coming down because you've made a decision and you had an opportunity to stand up and you didn't say it, to me, that's like what Steve DeAntuono did. He said it was bad that they raided Mar-a-Lago, but he didn't stop them. And when they did it, he said, well, I thought it was a bad idea. That's Steve Jensen, who went after all the J6ers to include Owen Schroyer. And he said, I pushed back, but at the end of the day, I have to follow orders. The hell you do. This is an at-will employment. Like, being the deputy director of the FBI was an at-will job. You just showed up out of the blue and you got to work there. They don't have any contract. This is not the military. They're not going to throw you in the brig. If you disagreed so vehemently that they were going to violate your principles and they weren't doing the right thing that you'd spent 10 years on talking about, then the answer is stand up and say, I'm not going to sign off on this and I'm out of here if you guys release it. I'm going to resign the same day that it drops in protest. But if you don't do that, you're at least complicit for a little while. And, you know, kudos for doing the right thing eventually. But I don't think he get full credit. At least not in my world. You don't get credit for hitting the brakes.
He could just decide to play ball for the next 3.5 years and totally sell out. You know what I mean?
I just don't think he, no, I think he was miserable. So this is the reason that the ninjas out of the ceiling comes into play.
Yeah.
I think he was absolutely miserable. And by the way, that's not just me thinking that and looking at him and seeing a guy who's not happy.
Everybody knows.
Everybody in the bureau saw him not being happy. He didn't fit in there. He didn't actually, you know, I think he thought he was going to walk in there and be like a conquering hero and everyone was going to be like, yeah, it's Dan. And they walked in and they're like, ooh, it's Dan. And yeah. People kind of, you know, his first wrestling match, for some reason he got in a wrestling match at the academy and he like twisted his elbow and got injured. I had a buddy that was at the academy that met him and he was like, yeah, he was like nursing a sore arm and trying not to show that he was hurt. So I think some people, you know, kind of laid it on him and let him know, you know, this is our FBI and you've been talking a little bit and you don't really know what you're talking about, because there are decent people at the FBI. It's just that the management is not decent. And then also a lot of the people are willing to do what they're told. It's actually more dangerous to have rule followers and order followers than it is to have like really bad people there, because the people that went and raided J6ers homes, the people that took, you know, Catholic protesters outside of an abortion clinic into custody, the people that would have gone after and raided a James O'Keefe or raided you guys, those people are just guys that were like me that just said, oh, well, that's what we're doing today. We're just doing this. Do I know anything about the case? No. I'm just going into a TV studio. I'm just going into a journalist's house.
Orders.
I'm just following orders. I call them good Americans. I actually started calling them that in early
2020.
Yeah,
it's like any small business owner that pays taxes. I have to. You know, despite the fact that I don't agree with the war going on in Ukraine or the war going on in Israel. Or the fact
you're funding it. It's a little bit different when you're the one, it'd be more like somebody collecting taxes at the same time as not paying taxes.
Right. Yeah,
There's like tens of millions of outstanding tax dollars when it comes to U.S. federal employees, including the IRS. They're really bad at paying taxes, it turns out, even though they're really good at collecting them from you. So for whatever that's worth. Rule followers, people that are just going to go along to get along. I had a buddy call it something else. He said the people who are addicted to the golden eagle taking a crap in their bank account every two weeks. Those people are a liability to American freedom and to American liberty.
Well, I think of Pam Bondi kind of in that vein too, in that she just comes off to me very much like a valedictorian. Like she's just the good kind of pageant girl that always did the right thing at the right time.
Not that bright though. Like she took non-honors classes, so she got like all A's in the easiest things possible.
She just wants to write the paper and suck up to the professor. You know what I mean? These are people they're not people that lead organizations. They're people that rise to the top of organizations by, you know, knowing how to work whoever they're higher up is. Kyle, we're coming up on a break in 26 seconds.
Yep, we'll do
so I don't want to get off on another tangent, but in 4 minutes after this break, if your wife will let you, I'd like for you to stay with us for, we'll finish the broadcast together. This is just insane what's taking place. I hope that we arrive at a place where there's some justice here and accountability and that we can untangle this knot that's been tangled and restore some credibility in this administration and these institutions. Stay with us for more on the other side and make sure you go to thealexjonesstore.com to keep this possible.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline, and the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
Trump is speaking through her, right? Those are his words. And he's waiting, because you put U.S. bombers over there with bunker buster bombs, it embroils America into something that could last a decade. Right? He knows the implications of this, and you don't want to overreact. You don't want to actually do something that might not need to be done if you can avoid it with some kind of negotiations, which Trump is the master negotiator, right? So you've got Iran, you've got Trump, and you've got Netanyahu, right? So two of those are really going at it. What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing, hopefully. And, wow, that's so important. We're out of time, Dr. Elliott. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not all. Dealers are created equal, not our brokers are created equal. When our biggest thing that we do for people is, I believe it's your money. This is why we charge zero when you liquidate, zero. I want you to get everything that you invested in. Gold and silver do really well in these times of things. You can move over your IRA, your old 401ks, cash assets to get out of harm's way, get out of the path of this hurricane to safe ground. Don't overpay for your stuff. I'm telling you. Do not overpay for your stuff when you don't need to. Always buy bullion and do it with somebody who doesn't charge you when you liquidate.
Oh, I forgot that part. You're the only big company that does that. That is massive. No charge on liquidation. Massive. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the wholesale price every day of silver and gold. When you buy it, you know. These other places, I'm sorry, there's 90% of them go from scams to absolutely criminal in my view. That's why we don't have gold sponsors and stuff, because there's so few that are good. Plus, I got out of it 14 years ago, right at the top, told everybody, nope, now's not the time. And then 2 years ago was the time. We've been proven right. Only exploded. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
Conspires for tomorrow, we ride tonight. You're listening to Tomorrow's News Tonight with your host, Chase Geyser.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chase Geyser hosting Tomorrow's News Tonight with the esteemed Kyle Serafin. Kyle, it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you. I'm eternally grateful to you for all you've done, but especially for the hardest thing you've ever done, which is getting out of bed to be on this show with me. I appreciate it, man. So let's get into...
I got to be esteemed because earlier I was infamous and famous. Yeah. I like it.
Hey, it's better to be infamous than not famous at all, according to the great Roger Stone. But
true.
I wanted to really get into the weeds of what happens next, because ideally, as just an InfoWars guy and a patriot, somebody who loves America, I would like to see this all reversed and corrected so we wind up with a situation where the information does come out and there is accountability and credibility is restored to these institutions and this administration. What do you think is actually going to happen next, and what would need to happen next in order for my pie-in-the-sky dream to manifest?
Sure. Well, first of all, I don't do prognostications very well. I accidentally could tell just based on the signs out there. I would call it like a, just an educated guess that he was going to be leaving at some point. So if it's not this summer, it'll be before the end of the year. I think Dan's miserable, and I don't want that for him either. Like, nobody, I don't want to see anybody miserable, even people that I don't get along with. I don't want them to be miserable. Makes them even more miserable to me. So end of the day, I don't think Dan stays, whether it's this week that he leaves, whether it's, you know, over the weekend or whether it's in a couple of months. It doesn't really make a difference. It's not a great fit for him. He doesn't have the institutional knowledge to do that job in a successful way. I think he probably already knows that. So he's looking for an off ramp, and that's probably it right now. But if it's not, he'll find an off ramp before then. That's actually not bad for America. I talked to the person that was recommended and was actually Kash Patel's first choice, at least initially, to be deputy director. We made a recommendation. The guy's name is Kurt Suzdak. I'm going to put his name out there. He's not really a public figure. You've probably never heard of him.
Nope.
You'd have to go looking for him if you did. He's not on Twitter. He's not a guy that wants to be a media dude. He's been on my podcast once or twice only because I know him. And he's a whistleblower attorney, and he's a retired FBI agent. And so he's a lawyer who knows how the FBI works. He worked in the New York field office. He worked in headquarters. And he beat the FBI at their own game as a whistleblower. And he was like one of the 100, you know, if there's 100 whistleblowers, only one of them gets away with it, basically, and doesn't get destroyed. He managed to retire as a whistleblower, which is totally unusual. He also has spent probably the last 6 years, maybe 7 years straight, just thinking about the problem of the FBI and how to fix it. So if you want your pie in the sky dream, Dan leaves for greener pastures or decides to run for office or whatever Dan's next plan is. And we wish him well. And we say, thanks for your time. Good try. Mm-hmm. What did my dad used to say? He used to say, he said, good idea, bad execution. That was what he used to say to me when
Or what Yoda used to say, do or do not, there is no try.
Yeah, I think we encouraged the effort, but the result wasn't there. And I think that's true. I think the result was, is we didn't see the FBI done. Now, something Kurt and I were talking about today, because he called me up. He's been in, like a sick bed for a couple weeks, and he comes out and he's like, oh my God, like, what have they done? I go, oh, they just trashed the Bureau and the reputation is garbage. This week has been wild. He goes, you know, the good thing is everyone thinks this is unrepairable because they're living in this like time frame where the media gets you all hyped up about it. But at the end of the day, the FBI screws stuff up on the regular and then fixes itself. Mm-hmm. And this has been happening for decades. You know, it did all kinds of screw ups right in the inception. It went on every couple of years. They'd have a big scandal or something like that. They'd kind of straighten it out and they'd get back on the thing and people would start feeling good about it. Then they'd screw it up again. So, you know, this is just a cycle. Unfortunately, the FBI has been in the news, which is weird for me, but it's been in the news an awful lot ever since I showed up there in 2016. So it's kind of been permanently there. Maybe something about running off a sitting president and, you know, trying to spy on his cabinet and whatnot and spy on his presidential campaign. It doesn't make you look good or nonpartisan. But all that being said, they probably need to get a new guy for Dan, someone who's going to come in there and really take the bull by the horns, that knows what the Bureau is, knows the BS lines that are done. I'll give you an example. If you wanted to bring on, if I was a deputy director and I wanted to bring on a new guy, I said, hey, I'm going to hire Chase and he's going to be my media comms relations guy. He's going to go out there and be the press secretary.
That's a great idea.
Okay. So we're going to do that for you. Okay. So I go and I tell my person there, and I'm new at the FBI and I don't know anything about the FBI. The HR person is going to immediately say, well, we're not ready to bring him on just yet. We actually need to wait until the beginning of a pay period. That's how we like to do it. And so it's a stall tactic. And then after that, someone's going to come in and they go, well, we really need to finish his background check first. And we're not quite done with that. So we're going to need actually a couple of weeks before that. So they're going to kick it down the line and slow it down. Now, someone like Kurt, who's been in the Bureau, someone like me, I'm not going to ever do it. I have no interest, but someone who has like an experience knowing these people are going to come and say that, you're going to go to the person and say, here's the deal. They start today, give them an interim clearance, effective immediately, right now, go type it up, and go ahead and get them onboarded. We'll figure out their pay later, but they start now. I want to issue credentials. I want you to get them in. I want you to get authorizations for travel and work orders and bring them on.
You come in balls out now. And get it done.
Yeah, and if you can't do it, then go ahead and let me know who your acting is, the person, because you've now been relieved of your authority and you are now going to be on suspension for insubordination, which is a terminable offense. How many people do you think you got to terminate in a row before they start? It's like shooting somebody in the head and the next guy steps up.
Sure.
You don't have to really put too many people on terminable suspensions before they're going to start jumping in line. And that's what you needed. That's not what they did. And I know that for a fact, because the guys that were at the that were at the Hoover building that were
and
around
just
there.
Didn't
that
know.
Were
he didn't have the experience to know that's how the organization. I mean, look, I've worked here at InfoWars for 2 years, and it took me at least a year to understand kind of how the organization worked enough to get things done quickly. And that's normal for any institutional organization. You got to develop relationships, 100%. Rapport. You got to do a lot for people that don't know you at first. You got to give a lot, and then you can ask for favors later, you know?
That's right. You have to have enough confidence in what is going on around you that when you say something, you're not going to just like put your foot in your mouth. Right. And so everybody is a little bit tentative at a new organization. Nobody walks in there and like throws their balls on the table and says, this is how it's going to be, my way or the highway. The director can do that. They don't have to know. Right. But you have to have a deputy that knows the mechanics so that when I tell you, hey, Chase, here's the thing. I want to eliminate this thing and I want to move these people on. And I want to get that done. Someone needs to know how that actually works mechanically. And if you don't have that institutional knowledge, then you're waiting for someone else to tell you whether or not you're asking questions and they're telling you that it can't be done. How do you know it can? So it's not his fault. He was set up to fail. If we're assigning kind of things to it, men have pride. Hubris is something that's been around for as long as human beings can remember. Pride is the original sin. That falls pretty closely on it. If somebody asks you to do a job and you are too proud to say no, which sounds kind of backwards, but if you don't have the sort of self-confidence to look in and go, you know what? I'm not the guy for this. I can tell you I'm not the guy for that. I had a bunch of people on it. You know, people on X don't know anything. People on social media, they don't know anybody else who was in the FBI. So they're like, Serafin, would you do it? It's like, hell no, absolutely not. I'll tell you the right people. I'll tell you the criteria for the right person. But I'd be a crazy person to step in. I was in the Bureau for 6 years. I didn't work at headquarters. I worked around headquarters. I know a lot of the problems. I know a lot of people who have told me about the problems. But I'm not the guy to go in there and mechanically fix it. And every time I talk to people that have 20 years of experience there, I learn something new every single time. Part of it's because I know the right questions to ask because I actually speak the language. So that's the first part. The second part is actually knowing the answers because you just know it because you saw it already done wrong. They need someone in there. So hopefully, I think Cash is going to stick around. I think he's safe. I don't think there's any danger of him leaving. I think, like I said, Dan makes his exit here. Sounds like Pam Bondi's got some coverage, but I'm also seeing George Santos right now reporting that that Matt Gaetz didn't show up to a Turning Point event tonight where he was supposed to speak and maybe something's in the works. So, you know, we're going to see some turmoil. And unfortunately, I would say that that Trump right now is 0-3 with attorney general picks and he's 0-2 with FBI directors thus far. A new deputy could make Patel do the job properly because at the end of the day, the director is actually not that important for getting things done.
Sure.
But someone's got to come in and write that ship. We've got a lot of people working against.
Yeah, I mean, if Dick Cheney was able to run the presidency, then a good deputy director presumably could run the institution despite
actually the job of the deputy to run it. Yeah.
So how does this tie into the investigations that have been announced into Brennan and Comey? Because obviously.
Those are smoke. They're smoke.
Just smoke. That's it.
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. So here's the deal. They were leaked to a friendly source who shares the same it's Brooke Singman, who's over at Fox. She's the digital editor that released this story. Brooke Singman is friends with Erica Knight. Erica Knight is the PR person for Cash Patel, is the PR person for Elena Haba, who's friends with people in the FBI now and greater in the DOJ. And she's kind of a circler in that orbit. She's been around, you know, Trump world for quite a while. She's a pretty lady. She's competent in PR, but that's where that came. It was a leak to them. It was like, we need to smoke this thing out. And the leak said they were going to look into perjury charges. There's some claims that maybe Brennan perjured himself in 2023 and thus it's still within the statute of limitations. The odds are there's no way you're going to be able to prove that. I don't think I have zero confidence. Those guys are not sleeping any, you know, are not losing sleep over it. That is 100% smokescreen. And so you can talk about there being investigations, but what is it going to be for? It's going to be for non-capital offenses. And by the time they're done with the investigation, Alex and I said it the other day while we were on his program, it's going to go the distance. It's going to exceed the 5-year mark for whatever it is, no matter what. Comey's stuff is already outside of it.
You just want to buy time for the American people to forget.
We got to show you something. Here's how you know. This is the easiest way to know, Chase. If you do an investigation, you don't need to tell anybody. Mm-hmm. You just do it. You announce the indictment. You announce the criminal complaint when you show up with an arrest warrant and you put cuffs on somebody. You announce the plea deal that results in a sentence that the judge gives. You don't announce that you're going to be investigating somebody. Why?
Right. You don't because talk you about what you're going you're to doing do. Something. You talk about what you just did.
Bingo.
Yeah. And that's true for life, just generally speaking. There's people all the time. Oh, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do next year. It's just shut the hell up. It's like we used to have a joke when I was in an entrepreneur, I network with a lot of other entrepreneurs and stuff. And we would call them wantrepreneurs when they had like a t-shirt and a logo and a business card and a website, but they'd never had a client. It's like, why don't you get a client before you get a business card and a logo and a website? And
they're
so
just all vaporware.
It's all vaporware. So what are the odds that we can successfully apply enough pressure to this administration to get them to reverse their position on the Epstein thing and actually do something about it? Do you think Trump's just going to double down for the rest of his administration and eat it and let us eat it and it's over?
Maybe. He could, but I think that he's seeing that there's definitely a resist. I mean, I'm currently on my own Rumble channel right now and on my X account. I've had a 12-hour stream of over 50 minutes of cuts of Bondi and Patel and Bongino and others talking about it. Elena Haba's on there as well, talking about the stuff, all the clips that we've probably been playing this week on
you
this network.
You just looped them
and
all
others.
Together?
I looped them all together, that's but we so put genius. Them into sort of a semi, like a semi-coherent sort of argument. And, it's just back and forth. And it's been going for 12 hours straight right now. And I did it for 12 hours through the night last night. And we had, you know, tens of thousands of views on it. I got a smaller audience, but people are seeing and they want it. You know, like no one's going like, hey, get this off here. You're invading my space. They're like, yeah, we don't want to let this go. So I think that there is the possibility. Social media is a weird animal. And prior to having it, I would have told you none of it is real. The craziest things are, getting a phone call from someone who's a, you know, chief of staff or a congressman or a senator saying you hurt the congressman's feelings. You hurt the senator's feelings. And could you be a little bit nicer over on X? And you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Are you kidding me? So there is a movement. These things do actually cause pressure and donors think it's real. And honestly, a lot of people in Trump world think it's real. My buddy used to work for a think tank and they fired him. Because my tweets were mean about people that they liked and he didn't disavow me right away. So it's a real thing. It does actually create pressure. And there's a huge pressure if you go and scan at least what's happening over on X where, you know, that's kind of like my biggest audience as well. There's a lot of people that are pissed. There's a mixed bag of the I stand with Dan Bongino crowd, whatever the hell that means. He's, like I said, I think he's leaving because he wants to, not because he has to. I think he's miserable. But there's also a lot of people that are like, you guys blew it and you all have to go and all of you have egg on your face. And by the way, don't protect rich pedophiles. That's not what America's promise is to our daughters and to our children and to the women here. Like, what does that say to you that if you're too big to be arrested, they can kill the guy who was at the front of it? And we're not even going to go investigate the people that were supposedly in those videos, which we heard about over and over again from multiple different angles. Right? That's transactional business for the FBI to go and hunt down people who appear in child pornography that are abusing minors. They find them regularly. It's not like the biggest priority for the FBI, but it's something they're pretty good at.
Sure.
The squad that I had, that we worked alongside in Washington DC probably served at least one search warrant and one arrest warrant and maybe two on any given week. There was like a, you know, half dozen agents working. They busted their ass every single day. They're out doing it. They're serving warrants at night. They're serving warrants in the morning. They went out there and if, for reference, most FBI agents will probably arrest one person a year on average, if that, for their cases. Maybe one person every couple years. They were the high volume stuff. If you wanted to go get arrest, you went on the child pornography squad because they were knocking down child predators that were sharing it, the ones that were producing it. They were marking down anybody that was in the distribution network, that was making money on selling it and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's a lot of sickos in this country. So you can do a lot of work there. So why are we not getting the ones that were in the Epstein videos? We were told they were there. And here's my last little proof because this has got a little bit, you know, closer to home for InfoWars. They did, in fact, produce like sheets of faces at January 6th, did they not? And put them through facial recognition and sent them out to the sedition hunter jerks that were in Europe. And they actually went out there and contracted people to hunt down people based on the face and the location. Why are we not doing that with whoever's in these videos?
Yeah.
I mean, you can edit out the kid and just show me the face. I don't need to know more other than elite pedophile seen in this place on this date. Go get them. And people will go to work. People would do that for free. People would love to do that for free. There's a lot of people that would use all of their talents and resources and volunteer their technology and their computer processing and, you know, their attention span to look for bad people who hurt kids because America doesn't want to run on a nation that says you can get away with blackmail and you're actually too big for us to deal with you.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if the autist on Reddit could find where Shia LaBeouf was putting his resistance flag after Trump got elected the first time based on where the stars were in the sky right. and where the planes were flying, and they, yeah. they took it down like three times, then they could that's definitely right. find a pedophile if you just They're do a like, screenshot oh, of their
the
face.
The mold profile of that wall is only unique yeah, to us. Yeah. Like, there are people that would find this, okay? And yes. so let's do that. Let's do that. You know?
Well, you know, I'm actually in fact, encouraged to hear what you just said because you have every reason to be totally black-pilled and cynical. And the fact that for you, there's even a maybe that this can be reversed. There's a, hey, maybe look, there's enough pushback. That's really encouraging to me.
You put the right deputy in there who actually knows how the Bureau works, who goes in and says, hey, by the way, this is not going to fly. If we're going to close it, we're going to do it the right way. It doesn't take a genius to do this. Look, we work in media, so this is really easy. Ready? I'll tell you how you, I tell you how this, you sell this to the American people. You go up there and you tell them, I've brought to you, okay, I'm the director and this is my deputy. We're closing this case. And the fact of the matter is that there's no evidence despite everything you were promised. It was either deleted previously. What I brought to you is here is the seizing agent that took all of the evidence off Epstein's island. Here's the seizing agent that signed for every piece of evidence that came out of his townhouse in Manhattan. All right. Here's the people that raided his ranch in New Mexico. We've brought together multiple case agents. Here are a number of people that did interviews. They're going to tell you that the inventory list of what we were looking for, we still have all that evidence, but it's unable to attribute it. Here's what they did for interviews. We have their 302s. We're not going to be able to give them to you, but they're going to take some questions. Like, do transparency. Mm-hmm. My buddy Steve Friend says transparency for Republicans right now means things that we like. It's not really transparency. It's just we say it. It's things that we like. If we like it, it's transparent. The Democrats say the same thing about democracy. Democracy are things we like. It's not reality. So no, that's not the option. The option is we've got to have people that come forward and really do what transparency is. We make folks available, people who know how to testify that are going to step up and tell honest things. You can see right there. That's NYPD, right? You've got task force officers. So those people, they're doing just a basic search warrant, and a basic search warrant means you could probably talk about what you saw, what you didn't see, what you found, right. what wasn't there. What was it that you collected? How about you give me somebody from the CART program, which is the computer exploitation team that the FBI has. How about we have somebody from the, from the various different technologies, from what's called ELSHER, the electronic surveillance and the electronic evidence guys. How about they come in and say, here's what we got. Here's how we, stored it. Here's what we didn't get to maintain. These were degraded too badly. We were unable to recover the hard drive. Like, whatever. Bring real facts. Don't come out and say, I read the file. He killed himself. Right. Look off camera for gun pointed at your head. Like, don't do that. Like, whatever. When I went through SEER school with the Air Force, they teach you how to do a thing called discrediting the message. So there's different tactics and techniques that if somebody puts you under duress and they are forcing you to say something while you're in a POW situation that you can do. And I'm not going to reveal what they all are because I think, I don't know, maybe they're classified, but either way, they're sensitive. But there's things you could do. And a lot of it is the way that you look and the way you present yourself. And Dan Bongino was doing an awful lot of them, whether he meant to or not. And so was Cash, by the way. They were doing these weird sighs. They've got kind of like strange language.
It was like Ottawambia in North Korea.
It was really, really awkward. There is no such thing as a nugget or a tendril in a case. The FBI doesn't have nuggets or tendrils. And they were like, we've looked at every nugget and every tendril in this case. It's like,
well, I got to ask you about this too, because this story disappeared. This story disappeared today.
Cereals.
Right, right. A nugget or a tendril. you know what skedaddling is, right? So this story almost disappeared today because of all the news, but it came out that all the metadata in the video, the 11-hour video that was released by the administration, right? It had been edited at least like four times and had been in Adobe Premiere edited twice with four splices in Adobe Premiere. And yeah. What the hell's going on with this video of the hallway that wasn't even looking at itself?
It looks like someone just set up a total discrediting op, doesn't it?
Yes.
And here's the thing. Imagine someone, so you're probably more savvy. I know you know how to do some video work. I do as well. We can do some metadata analysis, so maybe we could see that. But imagine you're Dan Bongino. I'm pretty confident he doesn't cut his own podcast. He hires his own video editors.
Can you imagine him sitting there, God damn it, why won't I render in the right resolution?
I rendered it in 720p. I wanted it in 1080. Yeah, like that thing where you're re-rendering. No, I don't think Dan does that. He's moved beyond that place, and I don't think he ever did that. He started off in the audio world and had a producer even from then. So did he go through and analyze that video and know what it was, or was he taking the word of someone who was setting him up to look like a fool? Because they look like fools. What they did is they said, we're going to give you the raw video, and that would not pass scrutiny in a court, period. Like, without a forensic log, without a custodial log of what happened, what the edits were, when they were done, why they were done, why the splices, why was it in Adobe, what was necessary, what was the method that you extracted it from the original machine, how did you then encode it to be able to release? Like, there's a real serious sort of chain of custody that needs to be done for video as well. And it's different than physical evidence. If you collected that gun that's sitting behind me, if you wanted to go grab that revolver,
I do.
We'd make it safe. We'd send a zip tie through the barrel. We'd disable the trigger. We'd put it on a box. We'd lock it down. We'd say what number evidence it was. We'd show where it was seized. It would be listed by a room number and a photograph and a bunch of other stuff. And then it would go into evidence. And video has the same thing, but it's very different. It's logged, like, how was it collected? What was the collection method? Was it taken on a flash drive? Was it burned onto a DVD? Where's the original? Can we seize the hard drive? Blah, 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 blah. Like, there's a chain of custody. There's a way to do it. And releasing a raw file out on the DOJ's website that missed a minute and was edited and spliced and had all this other crap in it, like, that's not raw. You can't call that raw. And then Pam Bondi went out and said, right after those two guys went out and said, it's conclusive, and he did it, and the video shows it. She said it's not conclusive while sitting in the White House. It's a comedy of errors. I mean, it would look like someone with, like, the wrong people in the DOJ and the FBI were briefing the executives so that they would have contradictory stories, so they would all look like fools when they went and shut it down.
And it totally and the public worked.
And you know what? Even if it was a legit story, like I said, there's a way that you could tell a legit story and make it really, really bad. How many of your friends have ever come and told you something and they left out the critical details and you're like, you're freaking lying?
Yes.
And then when you get the whole story, you're like, oh, well, no, they weren't lying. I just didn't realize how dumb the whole story was. They edited it out for content because it was just not really relevant. It was a diarrhea break in there and they ran out of gas on the way home. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that's not that interesting. But it sounded like a lie until I got the deep. Like, you got to give people the details. You can't tell them it's a raw video, slightly enhanced. And then it's like completely spliced and edited and run together. And there's four different clips.
Well, and you can't tell people that you've done an exhaustive investigation without sharing the details. Even if they would have shared the details of the investigation, that would have been at least something.
They didn't even explain how they were first a couple of days ago that there were 250 plus victims that needed to be censored out of all the stuff. And there were 10,000 plus hours of video. And the next minute is like, no blackmail, no cases. No one else is going to jail. Sorry about that. In fact, Epstein wasn't even real. These are not the joys you're looking for. Like, that's what I got out of that. What the hell were they doing? It was the worst rollout ever. I think my buddy Mike Howell said it was a how-to on how not to release bad information. And of course, the worst part of it was, is it looked like they were hiding it behind the tragedy that happened in Texas. It looked like they tried to drop it behind a national tragedy with maximum deaths from a flood that happened down the street from you and I. So that's crazy too. And so all of that is suspicious looking. And if you want to throw suspicion off, you turn the lights on and you hike up your skirt and you show them what you got underneath. That's what has to happen.
100%. Kyle, honor and a pleasure to have you on the show tonight. We're coming up on the end of the broadcast in just a minute. Thank you so much for your time, for coming on this late, spontaneously. Obviously, breaking news. We'll be closely in touch as well. Please let me know anything else that comes about. Please, everyone, follow Kyle Serafin. Show your support on his Rumble channel. Follow him on X at Kyle Serafin. I'm sure that all of his Rumble links and everything are right there as well in his bio. Awesome person to follow. Totally a hero and a friend of InfoWars. Thank you, Kyle. All right, folks, before we go to the end of this transmission, it is my duty and my honor and my privilege to encourage you to go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason that we can still be on the air. Rex Jones is a genius savant when it comes to developing supplement formulas. And this week we have launched two new ones on the alexjonesstore.com, Power Plant and Methyl Drive for cognitive enhancement and energy. And it is incredible. I took both of these today and I've been calling it the Power Drive. We've got it for sale right now at the alexjonesstore.com. And this will make you feel like you're plugged into a nuclear reactor, not radiated, but radiating. It is absolutely astounding. And don't just get it because it's going to make you the best version of yourself, but get it because it keeps InfoWars on the air at a time when we are reaching the pinnacle and the climax of the information war. Stay with us for more on the other side.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.